started up right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I was going to college and working all that, and then like I remember in college I did start to get headaches, but not really bad headaches. And in work as well. And then COVID came and all that. And then I had to remember so much stuff. And then I stopped working because of COVID. And then so I'm going to college. So I was just in my room. But I did used to do like makeup at college. So I was in my room like practicing my makeup. And then the headache started to get worse. So I went to the doctors, and they just gave me some migraine tablets. So they thought it was like a migraine. They didn't really think of anything. So I was only 19 as well. And then, like, it's like the headache started to get so much worse. Like, I couldn't even do my makeup in my room anymore because I was in so much pain with my head. And then I had to, like, stay in my room because, like, I was in that much pain. I couldn't even walk down the stairs. I needed to have my curtains shut. But when I did, like, venture downstairs, if I watched the TV with my mum and dad, I had to watch it with sunglasses on because my eyes like really hurt and my head hurt. And then I remember the day I got diagnosed, I was walking to the post office with my mum, and as I was walking back, like, remember starting to walk a bit like a crab, that's all I can say. And I remember there was this car coming towards me, and like obviously it was on the road, I was on the pavement, and like I was looking straight forward. I could see like two cars, but there was only one car, and then on that particular day, the doctor, they gave me the migraine tablets a few days before. It was like a telephone thing because it was COVID. And he asked me, like, how am I getting on with the migraine tablets? I said, they're not working. Like, I told him all the symptoms that I had still. And I told him about that car. Like, I could see two cars, and he said that I need to go to the hospital. And then my dad took me to the hospital, luckily, because it was COVID. He was working from home, so he could take me when he finished. And then I got to Owen Hospital. This part is so blurry, I can't remember much. But my mum was with me. And then, obviously, as well, because it was cold still, I went to the A&E part, and they was like, oh, it's only one person. But I was with my mum. They were saying, like, it's only one person allowed. And my mum was like, well, I need to come with her because she can't walk on her own. And at that point, I couldn't, like, physically walk by myself here with my mum looking under my arm. And they originally let us in. And then I had all the exams by the doctor, like, touch her finger and point and all that jazz. And I remember the doctor had like a red circle on the wall, and he said to me, point to the red circle. But because I had double vision, I pointed to a different invisible that wasn't there circled. And then that's when they got me the CT scan that showed fluid on my brain. But at this point, they didn't detect a tumour. So when they see that I have fluid, got blue light in an ambulance to Salford Hospital, and they did an MRI scan of my brain. So I think Oldham Hospital doesn't have the like facilities and neuro specialist, so that's why I went to Salford. Then they did an MRI in my brain, which showed the tumour. But because I had fluid as well in my brain, I had to have here, I've still got a scar under my hair, as well an EVD, which is my brain, and that, like, drained all the fluid out of my head. And that bag, I remember it got, that much fluid in my head, that bag got changed about 8-9 times a day, and then the rest is history. That's it.
And coming to terms with having a brain tumor can be really difficult. How's it been post that diagnosis?
So when I first got diagnosed, and like they said, oh, you've got a brain tumor, like, because I was so young, I was only 19, I was kind of like in denial and like, oh, it should be a tumor, it'll get taken out and whatever. And then I was like that for years. Like, I didn't know that my speech could be affected, that I still be disabled near 4 years on. But yeah, I think I was kind of in denial, and like when they took the tumour out on the 22nd of April, I remember the surgeon saying to me, like before my operation, like where it is on the scans, like it looks like a cancerous tumour. But after we took it out, we'll biopsy it. So, like, I was hoping it weren't cancer. And then about 2 weeks after he got taken out, the surgeon came back and told me it was the cancer that he thought it was. And then I had to have 6 weeks of proton radiation and 8 cycles, 8 months of chemo. But the tumour did like damage like everything, but like after like physio and stuff like that and like speech therapy, but when I was having chemo, like, because proton radiation was only targeted at my brain. But chemo was like all over. So every single nerve in my body has been affected. So I've got nerve damage. And I think it should take time for my nerves to like get past them. But also my voice, like, when the tumour was there, like, it damaged my vocal cords. So when I first had it removed, when I first found out about it, my voice weren't affected in any way. And then after the operation, like I was mute. I couldn't speak, I couldn't communicate. And then when I finally did, I knew that something went right. And then I started talking even more and more. I could tell that my voice went the same. But with my voice, that could get better. Like, it's better now than it used to be. But I don't know how much better we can get. So, yeah.
And I saw one of your videos on TikTok or on Instagram where you were at the gym and you were doing, I can't remember what you were doing, but has that helped you in your journey and given you kind of more confidence?
Yeah, like we've gone to the gym, because I go to the gym. I'm proper, this is the gym. I normally go on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays. It's my local gym. They're just around the corner. Then Wednesdays I go to Javino, which you might have seen. He does because his gym is more focused on disability and stuff. And then Thursdays I go to my local gym again. Then Fridays I go to Pilates class as well. So that's kind of even though the gym is helping my balance, my strength and stuff, going to Pilates too, that's helped my balance and my core strength and stuff. So, but with Pilates, they do stand up at the beginning, but I can stand up with a chair. So the lady who does the class, she puts a chair so if I lose my balance, I can just grab the chair. But she puts weights underneath it. So if I grab it, and because I'm so strong, if I grab it and it wobbles or whatever, then the weights that she puts on it don't make it wobble. So that's why I do it.
And I know that on your Instagram page you have a business where you sell creations and stuff. Is that also kind of a way of you expressing yourself and helping others?
So I first started doing that because if I don't go to gym, I've got no way of going out of my house, and then that it does make me depressed. I don't want to sit in there and do nothing and watch Netflix on my iPad every day, all day. So that's just kind of to take my mind off it and be doing something, even if it's all, because it's all smart. It's just a way of doing something. And plus, I'm on the council's housing thing, so that's kind of giving me, I love doing it, and people love their orders or whatever. It gives me something to do, and making a tiny bit of money out of it, that's just being saved up and going towards what I may need for my new house, rails and stuff that I could need in the future.
Helping you remain independent and giving you that independence that you kind of don't have at the moment. How has having a brain tumor and having a disability affected kind of your friendships and stuff? Has that been affected?
Yeah, so I used to be one of them girls who went out every single weekend to clubs and got drunk and stuff. But I don't think I've done anything like that since like March. No. I remember the last time I went out, I just think was March the 1st or the end of February. But I've not done that in 2020. So I've not done that since then. But that's because, like, I can't get there. Like, I just used to go up my house, get a set set and go. But I can't do that now. And, like, all the friends that I used to do that with, they do their own thing. And then some of my friends now have children, so it's a bit hard.
And with coming to terms with your disability and the impact of your brain tumour, have you learned anything about yourself that has maybe that you didn't know before and that you're proud of?
Like in the early stages, like I thought, oh, I'll never get better. My voice will never get better. My mobility will never get better. But like since I've started doing TikToks, I've got a big following, and like I've had comments that say like, your speech has got so much better and your mobility has got so much better. But like I myself can kind of see that with my mobility because I can balance for longer than you as well. Like I can, because my right arm is weak, I can do more things with my arms, you know what I mean? Like at the gym, like, you know, the weights where you pull up, but there's a machine that you can do it on, and I on the side of, like, thing, but on the light one, but I've gone up by 5 kg, so I can do more, even though it's on 5 kg, like, I've improved since doing out the lightest one, so I can kind of see some stuff. So I do know that in time I will get better.
Well, thank you so much for chatting to me. It's been amazing to hear about your story and everything.